How can I communicate with God? How can God be real in my own experience? These are questions that men and women have asked through the centuries and come up with many different answers. Only the Bible brings us God's answer to these questions, and it's important to know what the Bible's answer is. First and foremost, God tells us of our need for forgiveness if we're going to communicate with Him and have a real relationship with Him. So important is it for us to seek God's forgiveness that Jesus encouraged His disciples to pray regularly, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." A central petition in the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us our trespasses," says Jesus. In the language which Jesus spoke, one of the words for sin was debts. Quite literally, Jesus wants us to think of our sins as debts to God, like money owed. They're debts because God, the righteous judge, demands a penalty for our sins. And no one can have a true relationship with God unless that debt has been paid. So how can we be released from these debts to God? Well, certainly not by our own efforts to please God. God doesn't simply overlook our sin or weigh up our good points against our bad points, as some people seem to think. There's no do-it-yourself method available here. Only Jesus can release us from the penalty of our sins by paying the penalty for us. The penalty for sin in the Bible is death. God accepts the death of Jesus as the payment for our sins if we call upon Jesus to be our Saviour and Lord. God can forgive our debts because those debts are transferred to Jesus. The Apostle John puts it this way: "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, we can trust Him, for He does what is right. He will forgive us our sins and make us clean from all wrongdoing. If we say that we've not sinned, we make a liar out of God, and His word is not in us." You can't hope to maintain a meaningful relationship with anyone in ordinary everyday life unless you seek to develop total honesty. So, in a relationship with God, there must be total honesty and openness. We need to confess our failings and our disobedience to Him. And if we don't, and if we don't see any need to do that, we deceive ourselves. "We flatly deny God's diagnosis of our condition," says John, "and cut ourselves off from what He has to say to us. However, if we confess to God openly and honestly that we're sinners and that we've sinned against Him in so many ways, we're assured by God of His forgiveness." Not only does He promise this, and we must take God at His word, but He makes clear to us the basis of His offer of forgiveness. It's the blood, or the death, of Jesus His Son, which purifies us from every sin. God sent His Son into the world not only to reveal God perfectly to us, but also to die as a sacrifice for our sins. If modern man finds this hard to accept or understand, it's because he has no awareness of the awfulness of sin in God's sight. This is a truth which the Bible emphasizes from beginning to end, and it insists that we cannot simply come to God on our own terms. Something has to be done with the problem of our sin if we're to enjoy a relationship with God, and the death of Jesus is God's incredible answer to our problem. Some people are very confident about their own righteousness. It wouldn't be surprising if God seemed far away to such a person, since there cannot be a meaningful and true relationship with God without open and honest confession of failure and disobedience. On the other hand, some people are very conscious of their failings, yet God still seems remote to them. They must seek His forgiveness, believing that He will keep His promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. There must come a time in the life of every person who wants to communicate with God when he or she realizes the need for forgiveness and that purification from every sin. When this happens, you begin to pray the Lord's Prayer with real meaning for the first time. Father, forgive us for our trespasses. You begin to acknowledge that God's assessment of you is true. You agree that you're a debtor to him. You admit that you've been in rebellion against him. And you beg for release from your debt through forgiveness, through the death of the Lord Jesus. But if you've prayed that prayer, and if you believe you've come into a proper sort of relationship with God, a meaningful and true relationship, well, why go on praying for forgiveness? In one sense, it can be said that a person who has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior has been put right with God forever because of the death of Jesus. This is the sort of thing that Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans. He says, "Now that we've been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live." There's no uncertainty about the relationship with God, says St. Paul. No uncertainty now, and there's a hope of sharing eternal life with God because we've been put right with God through faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we need to go on praying for forgiveness? Well, the answer's simple, really, isn't it? Because we continue to sin. And we continually need to express our total dependence on God for forgiveness, to remind ourselves of the basis on which we stand accepted as God's children. And we need to keep our relationship with God open and honest by confession, telling him what we're really like, and making sure that guilt doesn't create any barriers to communication with God. So Jesus encourages us to go on praying, "Forgive us our trespasses." But then he says we should pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." What does he mean by that? At first glance, it looks as though God's forgiveness of me is conditional upon my forgiveness of others. And yet the Bible makes it clear that the only condition God places on us for forgiveness is turning to him in repentance and faith, seeking his forgiveness. Forgiving other people is not a good work that somehow merits God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of mercy on God's part. I can't earn it by forgiving other people. So forgiveness is a free act, an act of God's mercy, which he shows to us. But Jesus counts the forgiveness of others so important that he expresses himself in this emphatic sort of way. Not only does he teach us to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us," but he goes on to say this: "If you forgive others the wrongs they have done you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive the wrongs of others, then your Father in heaven will not forgive the wrongs you have done." Jesus means that our prayer for God's forgiveness is false and cannot be heard by God if we cannot show forgiveness to others. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and when we pray for forgiveness, we remind ourselves of the need to forgive others as God has forgiven us. If you're truly aware of your own need of forgiveness, you won't be able to go for long without forgiving others. But if you lack this spirit of forgiveness towards others, it may be a sign that you're not really a Christian, that you don't really appreciate your own need to be forgiven by God, your greater need to be forgiven by God. So when Peter came up to Jesus and asked him how many times he should be willing to forgive someone, Jesus told him a story which has great relevance to us as we think about this particular subject. How many times should I forgive someone who has done something wrong against me? Well, Jesus said there was once a king who decided to check on his servants' accounts. He'd just begun to do so when one of them was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He didn't have enough to pay his debt, so his master ordered him to be sold as a slave with his wife and his children and all that he had in order to pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before his master. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay you everything." The master felt sorry for him, so he forgave him the debt and let him go. The man went out and met one of his fellow servants, who owed him just a few dollars. He grabbed him and started choking him. "Pay back what you owe me," he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." But he wouldn't. Instead, he had him thrown into jail until he should pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very upset and went to their master and told him everything. So the master called the servant in. "You worthless slave," he said, "I forgave you the whole amount you owed me, just because you asked me to. You should have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you." The master was very angry, and he sent the servant to jail to be punished until he should pay back the whole amount. And Jesus concluded, "That's how my Father in heaven will treat you, if you don't forgive your brother, every one of you, from your heart." You see, one man had been forgiven $1 million, millions of dollars, a terrific debt, and he couldn't turn around and forgive someone else for the debt of a few dollars. And so if we can't forgive one another, it really is a sign that we don't appreciate God's forgiveness of us. If you have feelings of hatred or bitterness in your heart against someone else, you must realize that God has taken the initiative in forgiving you. He's paid a tremendous price in the death of his Son. And God calls upon you to seek his forgiveness for that hatred and bitterness, and to show his forgiveness to that person who's offended you. This power to forgive others comes only from appreciating how much you yourself are in need of God's forgiveness. O God, we recognize that we are in debt to you because of our sins. We've failed to do the things we ought to have done, and we've done the things we ought not to have done. We're guilty, and we deserve your judgment. Forgive us and purify us from every sin because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And teach us to express our thankfulness for being forgiven by you by being willing to forgive others through Jesus Christ our Lord.